Now, many people, well, I said this. I said, what does Peter, Lazarus, a donkey, and us have in common? And a lot of different things were put out there. Let me say what it is. At one time, they were all bound up with something. At one time, they were all bound up with something. And what they were bound up with affected their testimony. And the freedom that God gave us was so that we could have a testimony that would defeat the wiles of the enemy working in our lives and other people's lives around us. There you can be saved and still be bound up. You can be saved and still be bound up with always old ways of thinking, old ways of doing. You can be bound up with all the things that this world has to offer. You can be tempted away from God and be bound to the things of this world. That's why he very instructed us not to love the world or the things of this world. There's many Christians that God is trying to grab a hold of and use mightily, that their testimony would be more than sufficient to deal with the enemy in many areas of life. But because they've been tempted back into the worldly system, and they could still be sitting in church at times. Notice I said at times. And still love the world and the things of this world. And so once we have fallen into that trap, the enemy then has a free will to do whatever he wishes through those areas of our lives. Jesus said in Luke 4, if you go there with me, he had just come out of a time of 40 days in the desert. He had just been fasting and praying that whole time, and then he was tempted. He passed the temptation and the test and the trial. He came back into the city, and he went right into the sanctuary. How many of you know that Jesus went every Sabbath into the sanctuary? He didn't miss church. If God thought it was important to be there, if God thought it was important to be in church, come on. The whisperer says to him, well, it's not that big a deal. You know, you got other things you got to do. You got this going on and that going on and all these things. And pretty soon he's got you. Now he knows the voice of the enemy more than they know the voice of the Spirit. And they keep him in bondage. And that's the thing he's trying to do. And remember, this whole thing is about what can stop you from overcoming the work of the enemy in your life. What can stop you from overcoming the work of the enemy in your life? And that's what he's about. We talked about it last week. He said, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is, and we're not doing that, we're not focusing on Satan, we're not glorifying him, we're trying to expose him. And when the light comes on the way he operates and what we can do to overcome his works and his wiles and the way he tempts us and draws us away and gets us into these other things, once we know that, we now have the authority and the power to operate in the kingdom of God and out of the kingdom of God so the enemy can't touch us. When Jesus walked the earth, he said this. He said, Satan, you have no part in me. And that means you have no authority to come into my life and touch me. That's why he could never kill Jesus. Jesus had to lay down his life. But most Christians, and what did he say? The Bible says he came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Many are sick and dying because they don't rightly divide what God did at the cross, what he gave the power and authority to us over the works of the enemy. And so when he comes at us, we're helpless. Now we have to fully depend on man rather than on God. And once you start depending on man, know this, he's going to let you down sooner or later. Doctors can only go so far. They can't heal. They can fix. They can put new pieces in. But they're not healers. There's only one who can heal. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God the Father. God the Father is what makes and makes provision for us. I don't want to go too far. So what does Peter? Well, let me go back. I'm going ahead of myself and behind myself. Let's go back here. He came into the city. He went into the synagogue, and what did he say? Look what he said here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's reading out of the book of Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I could stop and start going through each one of these points and see that, and I can show you exclusively, if you are born again and Spirit-filled child of God, you are talking about yourself when you read those things out loud. You understand that? Because the Spirit of the Lord is in you and what? On you, with you, right? Because he has anointed me. Do you know you have the same anointing that Jesus had? Amen? All right. What for? To preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor? The ones that don't have money? No, the ones that don't have God. They're the poor. They can be as rich as they can be. George Soros is rich, but he needs the gospel preached to him. You understand? He needs somebody who will be bold enough to stand up and proclaim the truth to him. Well, he can't be changed. Anyways, let's go on. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on now. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what he did. He came and said, I've come to set the captives free. You were held captive at one time. If you're a born-again, Spirit-filled child, notice I said if, because there are some who will be sitting in the congregations who are proclaimed to be saved but aren't. Well, how do we know? Jesus said, if you love me, you do all that I command you to do. All. Well, God didn't command me to do what? Amen. So he came to set the captives free. All right. How was Peter held captive? Anybody know? Fear. There you go. Peter was fearful. Number one, you saw it. And what the truth of the matter is, Peter was fearful because of the little faith that he had in what God would do and who Christ was. Peter walked on water. What happened? Fear came. When Jesus was proclaiming that he was going to the cross, what happened? Peter stood up and said, oh no, that ain't going to happen. Why did he say that? Because of fear. Because he knew that he gave up everything to follow him. And if he died, he knew he lost everything. Sound familiar? If I follow God, I might lose everything. So fear. I can't follow him too much. I can follow him. I can go to church once in a while. I can't follow him too much because if I do, what's going to happen to me? When it was his time to give testimony that he was with Christ, what happened? Fear. He stood outside those gates, around those fire. Let's look at the world today. What happened? What's the devil doing? He's trying to stop the testimony of Jesus Christ. He did it in prayer in school. He's doing 10 commandments in the public places. All the testimony of God being someplace and doing something, he's stopping. If you talk at work about Jesus, what happens? You can talk about God all you want, but if you talk about Jesus, you're getting fired. So that stops testimony and work. You see what's happening? Satan doesn't care how much stuff of this world you've got. Satan doesn't even care how much you go to church. What he wants to make sure is that your testimony is stopped right there. Right where you're bound. Right where he's got you. Is it fear? Then yeah, he's got you there. Is it the love of the things of this world? Then he's got you there. Is it the love of money? He's got you there. Is it unforgiveness? He's got you there. Where does he have you bound? What is it in your life you've carried through After your salvation, I'm not talking to those who aren't saved. I'm talking to those who are saved and yet are still bound, and their testimony is still shut down, and they're fearful or unwilling to share that testimony. How about Lazarus? Lazarus was bound. What happened? God called him. Lazarus, come forth. Just like he did with us. Come forth. He came out with grave clothes. Grave clothes signifies that which has him bound up. Until he was loosed from the grave clothes, he couldn't give testimony. Well, where is, it says Lazarus. It says when Jesus was entering in triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem on the donkey, he was going in. And it says that the priest in the leaders of the nation of Israel at that time was concerned that people were talking about what Jesus did with Lazarus. Lazarus' testimony was going out there. The people were talking about it. How do you think he got out there? Somebody had to tell somebody. And once the testimony got out there, people were turning to Jesus. And when they were doing that, it was upsetting the religious people of that day. We're bound. You've got family members. And I know people in the kingdom. Well, I don't want to say anything to them because they're going to get upset with me. Yes, they will, but some of them are going to get free. Some of them are going to come to Christ. Well, then they're not going to want to be around me. They're not going to be around you without going to heaven. You want to take them with you. What's it going to cost? Satan is trying again. Keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about Jesus, especially in your home, because you know what happens there. Everybody goes crazy. What do you think is causing them to go crazy? It's a spirit that has them bound. They're afraid if they hear enough of it. Now, I'm not talking about judging and condemning or destroy. I'm talking about in love, when the opportunity arises, when you can mention it. The other day we were sitting in the gathering place, and it was before noon. It was on Tuesday. And I was sitting in my office. I looked outside, and outside was a car. Two gentlemen got out of it, and they wanted to come in. And we were not open till 12. And usually they get in the car and leave. This one, they didn't leave. So I came out, and I said, we're not open till 12. It was like maybe 1:45 or so. Well, no, 11:30 it was. And he said, well, we just came from Kinderhook, and we wanted to come in and see it. We were told about this place, and we wanted to come in and see it. I said, okay, come on in. We'll let you look around. Happened to be one man who lives in Kinderhook, and he's English. He moved there a number of years ago. And there was another gentleman there with him, and he came from South America. And so we're sitting there, and we're talking about it, and I'm explaining to him what this place is all about. And the one guy, the Englishman, says to me, he said, well, he said, I'm not very religious. I said, neither am I. I said, we're not religious, but we do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I wanted on to explain to him what it means, why we're saved, and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, not to have a religious activity. And so he listened to me. And a little while later, this other gentleman from South America came up, or South Africa, excuse me, I said South America, was South Africa. And he was telling me about he was living in this small little town in South Africa. And he said he was an alcoholic, extreme alcoholic. And it was a Baptist preacher there who talked to him and gave him testimony of what God was all about. And that's what this is all about, testimony of what God is all about. He got saved, and the moment he got saved, he got delivered from alcoholism. For 8 years, he said, I've been clean. Now that's just a happenstance that all of a sudden, I don't know how he does with this gentleman who's his friend, but at that moment, his friend heard, if nothing else, heard the truth of what Jesus did for him. And they had come all the way from South Africa, from Kinderhook, to meet together in the gathering place to hear the message of the gospel. What it does for them, I don't know. The one knew it, but at that moment, he had enough courage to tell his friend, the one who isn't religious, what Jesus Christ can do for him. We don't know the opportunity God gives. We don't know the moment that God opens a door for us and allows us to speak God's testimony about what Christ has done for you. And that's what it's really all about. Every time the enemy rises up, every time he comes at you, every time something's going wrong, you can stand up and say, look what the Lord has done. I give testimony of his goodness, of his greatness, of his love, of his mercy, of his power. This week we were going through all kinds of good stuff going on. Praise God. You knew last Sunday, if you were here, that our septic system was messed up. So we spent all day Monday and Tuesday looking for the tank, cleaning out the septic system, the pipes. John Warner and I were here, and we're cleaning the septic system out. That was the beginning of the week, and then everything else followed that pattern. By Saturday morning, we went into the gathering place. The furnace was down. The pump went. The motor went on it. Had to get somebody in there. All of those things going on. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking of these things and I'm, you know, crawling out from underneath the septic pipe thinking of these things. And I had to stop and I had to go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. The testimony is, look what a great God I serve. Look what a wonderful God. Not because of what he's done at that moment, but what he's doing and what he's going to do. God is doing something great. The enemy knows it. He hates it when you give testimony about his activities and how God, through Christ, you overcame it. And you can sit and you stop thinking. You say, well, you know, you don't understand. God understands. He saved you out of all of that mess. He saved you out of all of it. And yet, he brought you to a place where you can give the glorious testimony of how God has delivered you out of all of these things. And when you start doing that, when you start giving testimony of God's goodness, the enemy takes notice of who you are and what's going on in your life. I knew as soon as we started talking about him that we're going to have problems. I knew that as soon as we started revealing what he is doing in people's lives. Don't think that just because some thought comes to you that says, you know, let's do this when you know you shouldn't do that. Stop and consider where that thought came from. Take a moment. Meditate on it for a second. If the devil came to you, or let me say it this way, if a thought comes to you that says, you deserve this, or you deserve that, or you should have this, or you should have that, stop and consider who it is that's bringing you those thoughts. Don't just accept it. As I was coming in, I was thinking about this passage with Jesus when he went and he was tempted in the desert. Satan came to Jesus, and this is what came to me. Satan came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the whole world if you worship me. All the kingdoms of that known time he brought before Jesus, and Jesus saw them all in an instant of a moment. You know what came to me was? If it took Satan all of this world to tempt Jesus with, how much of the world does it take to tempt me? How much of the world does it take to tempt me? Because the point that Satan was trying to do was not so much to tempt him to worship Satan. It was to cause his testimony to be of none effect. If he could have stopped the testimony of Jesus, he would have stopped the salvation of all of mankind. Part of Jesus' testimony was hanging on the cross. Part of Jesus' testimony was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Part of Jesus' testimony was coming up out of the grave. Part of Jesus' testimony was ascending on high and sending back the Holy Spirit. That's all part of his testimony. Your testimony isn't just about being saved. It's about all those works that God is doing in your life beyond that point. He hasn't stopped working in your life. He hasn't stopped wooing you or calling you. He hasn't stopped explaining to you how much he loves you and cares for you. He hasn't stopped sending his power into your life to overcome the work of the enemy. He hasn't stopped working in your life to heal your bodies. He hasn't stopped working in your life to fulfill your needs. He hasn't stopped working in your life to fill you with joy and peace and love. He hasn't stopped working in it. But what he is trying to do is get the grave clothes off so you can be free to do what he asked you to do, is to be a walking testimony of what God has done. He wants those grave clothes off you. He wants you to stop looking at things the way you saw them before you got saved and start looking with the eyes of the Spirit to see the difference, what happened after you got saved and what he's doing since you got saved. And the possibilities of what he will do for you. I mean, we haven't even seen it yet. We haven't even begun it yet. Hallelujah. How about the donkey? Hallelujah. The donkey, he was a colt in Luke 4. Go there. Am I? Oh, we're there, aren't we? Okay. No, I don't want to go there. Where do I want to go? Excuse me for a second. Luke 19, that's what I wanted to say. Go to Luke 19. Hallelujah. I want to show you something here. It might be interesting. Luke 19, 29. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" I want you to see something here. If you go back into Exodus 13, we're not going to go there right now, but if you went there, well, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Exodus 13. I've read many commentaries and different people speaking of this incident, what happened when Jesus went there. And they would always say, what a miracle it is that somebody would just give it to somebody. You know, imagine, somebody walked up, I walk up to you and say, "Hey, what has need of your car? Can I have it?" You know. And you say, "Oh, sure, go ahead, take it." Somehow, I think there might be a little bit of, "Huh? Who are you? Get out of here. What are you, crazy?" This didn't happen. It says if you go on, he just gave it to him. Sure, go ahead. Look at Exodus 13. I'm putting through a hypothesis to you. Something just, it's me. Doesn't have to be. Nobody showed me this. I just, Exodus 13. Well, 1 through 3. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine.'" Is it a possibility that colt was the firstborn and it belonged to God? And when the Lord, when he said the Lord came there, the Lord means master. When they spoke the Lord, they knew they were speaking of God. That belonged to God. God sent the men there to get what belonged to him. And the one who was taking care of that already knew it was his. Now, even what's more, you go down a little ways, the Bible says if you want to redeem that colt or that baby donkey, you have to give a lamb for its redemption. Hallelujah. Okay, let me take it this way. Who do you belong to? The Lord. You were redeemed by what? A lamb. What is your responsibility? To carry the testimony. That colt was used to carry the testimony of God, which was Jesus Christ. You're to carry the testimony. You carry Jesus and the testimony of Jesus wherever you go. The donkey was tied up, incapable of performing its purpose. It was bound. He said, set him free so he can carry the testimony. Carry Jesus throughout the land where he was going. As they went along, they proclaimed him what? Hosanna to the highest. The people were taking palm fronds and laying them out there on the as they went, right? And the donkey was going over that. It was experiencing the glory that was coming through Christ, through their... Hallelujah. I want to stop and think about it. And they said to Jesus, hey, stop these people from calling out that. And he said, if they don't do it, even the rocks will cry out. Cry out what? The testimony of who he is. If you won't, somebody will. And when you do, that testimony of what Christ has done, who he is and what he's done, will stop the enemy in his tracks from operating against you. What is our testimony when all of a sudden something happens? Oh, I don't feel well. Oh, I've got this. I've got that. I'm busy here. I got this to do. I got that to do. I can't because I tried. It didn't work. I tried this. That's our testimony. Instead of proclaiming when he comes at you and the enemy comes at you and he tries to bind you up and stop you from doing whatever God has instructed you to do to be the purpose of God, all of a sudden it happens. You start proclaiming what God said, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? You start proclaiming it. What do you think the enemy's going to do? See, nobody knows because they don't do it that way. See, if we don't do it, if we don't carry Jesus with us wherever we go, trust me when I tell you this, the enemy will be right there to stop you. He wants to stop your advancement at work. He wants to stop your peace at home. He wants to stop your relationship with your husband and your wife. He wants to destroy your testimony where your children are concerned. When you speak all day long about how bad they are rather than what God is doing with them, the enemy gets right in there. Will do exactly as you instructed him to do. Oh, you're bad. You're terrible. You did this. You're stupid. You're this. The enemy will come in and reinforce everything you instruct them with. It's the way he works. And your testimony has power, whether you believe it or not. Your testimony is enforced by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you start speaking and cursing, that curse will come to pass. It'll work. It may take time. It may not happen overnight. But eventually, just what you say will come to pass. Jesus came to set us free so that our testimony will have power and authority to stop the works of the enemy. And if we don't change that testimony, we will be just like these who are all bound up. Now we know he came to set the captives free from what? From sin. He set us free from the sin that so easily besets us. But he also did this. He set us free from the law. The law is what binds us up. But grace sets us free. Amen? He gave us grace. And when we operate out of grace, what is grace? Grace does not give us a freedom to sin. It gives us the power over sin. That's what grace is really all about. Because sin is a powerful force, and we've been operating out of it for so long, and operating out of the same way we think so long, the same thoughts, the same way of doing things. We don't change. We're almost like there's dictators telling God what he has to do. God has said, here's what you need to do. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to do things that separate you from the promise that God has given to you through his son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Recognize in yourself there is something that's caused me not to serve my God fully and completely. Was it grave clothes with all those things? All those, and look back there, you can see a breakthrough. All those things back there to show us all the sins that so easily besets us. All the things we've done our whole life and we continue to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not about being saved. It's about having power to stop the enemy from affecting your life. This is what this is all about. The blood of Jesus Christ is not just about saving you. It is a barrier that keeps the enemy away. And the weapons you have to use is the word of your testimony. What did he say? Pick up your sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Once you stop and consider this, and don't just take it, whether you liked the message, didn't like the message, however it was, I don't care. The only thing that matters is you recognize what the word of God says, you do what the word of God says, you understand the boundaries that were put up against you, and the grave clothes, if you would, or being tied off someplace, unable. Look, clear, I'll show you freedom. I remember when I first came into the kingdom, I watched people raise their hands in church. I thought to myself, what are they doing? What are they doing? Look at them. Till I found out. You know what I do when I raise my hands? Honestly. Really, two things. One is, I raise my hands in worship to him, acknowledging that he is God. I mean, it's like here, I surrender, Lord. I surrender. But the other thing is, there's times when I sit there and I actually reach up to grab a hold of his hand. And I hang on tight. And it's like it's him and I walking hand in hand. See, he's up there. He's not down here. So I reach up to grab his hand. I don't raise my hand because somebody told me to. Because I have a freedom to do it, and I'm not ashamed to do it in front of others. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. I don't want to ever have him ashamed of me. I want to share the gospel, the truth, the testimony of my life and what Christ has done in my life is the power over Satan every time. There's times when I dance. I don't dance as much as I used to. I'm a little bit. But there's coming a day when I will. And when David, just like David danced, it causes your feet to dance when you're filled with joy. When you see a good car race and you see the guy that you want to win, and you jump up and down for joy and you're going like, hey, yay! You're worshiping that car. When the football team wins, kicks a last second field goal, yay! When you're in a place where a band's playing and the music's going on and you get your feet a-dancing, come on, and all of a sudden, yay, this is fun, yay, and everybody's yeah. We'll worship anything but him. Amen. Because he's got us bound. We're we're looking at others. Oh, somebody might look at me differently. Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. That's how the enemy works. He wants to stop your testimony. He wants to cause you to be still, to be quiet. Live like the rest of the world and on Sunday go to church. In your home there's arguing and fighting and fussing and complaining. But doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means this life down here is going to be tough. Once you enter into this and you understand the power of your words, the overcoming power of the work of the enemy, because listen to me, where there's anger and there's frustration and fighting and complaining and murmuring, that's not the work of God. That's Satan's handiwork. But when you start speaking the word of God, it brings peace, comfort, love, joy, reconciliation, healing. All of a sudden you see God at work. And in the end of it, you're going to see the promise of God, the blessings of God, the power of God being released. It's hard for you to lay hands on the sick if you can't raise your hands to Him, because you're bound still. If you got fear that's in your life, fear that you can't have what you want and do what you want and get others to do what you want, you're bound. Because the idea isn't to do what you want, it's the idea is to do what God wants, what Jesus wants, to set you free. Amen. Don't stop. Victory is assured. You have the overcoming power of God in your life. You can truly do all things through Christ. But it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of your testimony. The power of the word of your testimony. It's not impossible. Once you were bound, but now you're free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I just encourage you, check your heart out this week. Check out your life. Check out your life this week. Be honest with yourself. Be truthful. Go into your heart. Say, Lord, is there anything that keeps me from truly being free? I want to be free. I want to be free. Is there anything in my life that has me caught and bound? And then when He tells you, if He tells you, and I'm going to tell you what, if He says, oh, there's nothing, you're all set, everything's perfect, you're just fine, okay, praise God. I'm sure there's a whole bunch in here like that. But being honest with you, I mean, I really want to know. Just do whatever He tells you to do. But what if He doesn't tell me to do anything? He will tell you. If you ask, you shall receive. God, our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Daddy, wants you to be free. To carry that testimony of God's goodness. Why? Because God loves those people who don't know you. God loves those people who hate you. God loves those people who don't want anything to do with you. But I'm going to tell you what, you may not be able to reach them, but your testimony can. Listen, ask them. This is the week. This is the day. Oh, I thank Lord. Hallelujah. When we were worshiping there, we were praising, and I just knew something God was saying was, I come to set them free, loose them. I'm going to read something that somebody once wrote, and I can't even tell you who it is. I've got it here, but I don't know who. In our lives, we can look to change our nature. We can have the best training, but it's only the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through submission to the Lordship of Christ that the true change can take place, that our very nature can be transformed. That colt that carried Jesus into the holy city, it carried the weight of his presence. In a similar way, God calls us to carry the weight of his glory, the presence and power of Jesus, into the towns and cities of a lost and dying world. The one thing Satan has done the best of is to shut the mouths of the saints, to stop the testimony. If he can do that, because the scriptures tell us, how will they know unless we tell them? Unless you can go forth with free of fear and freedom and go forth and just say, Lord, I thank you that you used me today to share the good news. What is the good news? You know what the good news is. Jesus Christ of Nazareth came, died on the cross, buried in a tomb, rose on the third day. And because he saved me, he did all these wonderful things in my life. He set me free from all fear, anxieties. He set me free from all the oppression and depression of the enemy. He set me free. He can do the same for you. What is the word of your testimony? Amen. Don't be bound. Be free. Be free to do what God has instructed you to do, is to carry his glory wherever you go. Whether in your homes, whether at work, whether your neighbors, whether at the ball field, whether playing golf, whatever it is, let the glory of the Lord carry you through and let your life be a testimony. That's where you have power. When Paul wrote the epistles, most of them were written while he was in prison. And it was a time when he said, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. While he was in prison, he was still free to give testimony of the power of God. So it's not where you live. It's not who you are. Well, you know, it's not this or that. Let your testimony be the power to overcome the works of the enemy in your life, in the life of your loved ones. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we confess before you, Lord, that we haven't even considered what it means to be free, because we have not tasted fully of the freedom that you have given through your Son, Jesus. We're hungry for that freedom, Father. Total freedom. Total freedom, Lord. And we thank you right now, even now, Father, as you remove the grave clothes, you instruct us, Father God, how to be loosed from the oppression and depression of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we are loosed. And our testimony is yea and amen. We thank you, Father. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives. Help us to glorify you. Help us, Lord God, in our time of need, in our weakened state, even in our bound captivity at times, Lord. We know, Father, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know we are saved. But now let our light be a light, our life to be a light to those who are bound in sin, without hope for a future, looking to the world for their answer and their peace. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do we have anything?